You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, May 23rd. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, That Is Not For Sale.
Thank you, young people. That was wonderful. Wasn't that good? Oh, that was just so good, and I appreciate them so very, very much. And appreciate all that Brother Palmore does and all those that's involved in the music department and the youth department do a fantastic job to help our young people. And thank you so much for that. Let's go back in our Bibles tonight, if you will. Let's look at this one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. So he's asking a question there. It's almost like a shock. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? And then he asks another question, pretty much like this. Don't you understand that it's not your own? But then it goes on here, watch it. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, the Bible says, and your spirit, which are God's. So we're supposed to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Now, you hear a lot of preaching about the Spirit, and I thank God for that. You hear a lot of preaching about, boy, being the Spirit and running the Spirit and have a right attitude and right disposition and stuff like that, but you hear very, very little about the body nowadays in churches. You know why? Because we don't want to be offensive, all right? But tonight, now, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to be offensive, all right? I want us to understand some things that's very, very important about this body tonight. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, keep thyself pure. That word keep means this. It means to guard it. It means, if you will, to walk around it, to protect it. So when it says to keep thyself pure, it means that we're supposed to walk around that thing. We're supposed to guard that thing. We're supposed to make sure that that thing is well protected. You know, we traveled many years ago to that, which was the Smithsonian Institute. And there's a room up there that they have at the Smithsonian Institute in the Washington, D.C. area. And it's guarded by a guard. And it looks like a vault on the outside. And you think, wow, if it's a vault on the outside and you have to walk past a guard to get on the inside, must be something very, very precious there. And they have what they call the Hope Diamond that's inside of that particular vault. The Hope Diamond is worth more than any other stone that's ever been created by God. And so they have a guard there. It's placed in a very, very important place. It's placed under a guard. It's placed, if you will, in that guarded area in a tomb-like place so that nobody can get to it. Nobody can be able to come through a wall. Nobody can penetrate in that way. And if you will, it's guarded to such a level, if you will, that you feel almost intimidated just by walking in the room. Now, may I say tonight that every young person needs to guard their purity just that way. That's how come the Bible says to keep thyself pure. It's talking about walking as a guard around your own purity. Now, let me give you some things tonight that needs not to be for sale. By the way, somebody asked me, they said, oh, I know, you're going to preach not for sale like Brother Hiles had a sermon years ago. It's called Not for Sale. And then there was Dr. Bob Gray had a sermon that was called Not for Sale. And then there was Tony Hudson had a sermon, Not for Sale. And Ralph Sexton had a sermon, Not for Sale. But a little bit different tonight. We're going to talk about this tonight that could be very, very helpful. That is not for sale. Now, why do we say that? Well, the Bible says, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so it's very important that we understand tonight that whatever area we decide to sow in, that is the area that we're going to reap in. That's why it's important tonight that we understand when he says, to keep thy heart, it says, with all diligence. It's talking about walking guard around that heart. When it says to keep thyself pure, it's talking about walking guard around that purity. And there's some things tonight that you and I have to decide that we're going to keep pure. Statement number one, we need to keep our thoughts pure. So my thoughts need not to be for sale. I have to decide tonight that I'm not going to let somebody buy my thoughts. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 7, the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Somebody said this, a thought produces that which is a habit. A habit produces that which is a lifestyle. And so if you can think it, you can do it. And if you do it on a regular basis, it produces a lifestyle. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 8 and in verse 12, the Bible says, the chambers of his imaginary. And so the Bible talks about that which is the chambers of a man's thought life. If a man thinks about it, now Lester Roloff used to say that before anybody ever committed a crime, it was always committed in the chambers of the heart first. All right. And so if a person is thinking it, and that's why you have to be careful to protect your children's thoughts. If you do not protect your children's thoughts, and by the way, are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the thoughts that come into their mind, if you will, by the things they watch. I'm talking about the things that they listen to on perhaps some type of CD or something like that. What happens is this, come help me if you will. What happens is this, if you do not protect their thoughts, then their thoughts are out there for somebody else to grab, for somebody else to control. Somebody said this, somebody was a dream specialist that would study dreams. Here's what he said. This dream expert says, the dreams that you have at night are simply that which is unwinding the mind from the daily thoughts. So if a person is having bad dreams at night, it's because they're having bad thoughts during the day. So it's important that we understand, we have to decide tonight, I need to keep my thoughts, I need not to sell my thoughts. My thoughts, my pure thoughts are not for sale. I'm not going to sell, oh come on tonight. Listen, you ought to be excited that somebody cares enough about your kid to help you to understand. You've got to protect them from that which is coming their way. If you don't protect them, listen to me parent, then pray tell me tonight, who's going to protect them? We've got to be careful about those thoughts. We have to decide tonight that my pure thoughts are not for sale. Statement number two, my pure eyes are not for sale. My pure eyes are not for sale. You know, to the degree that you control your eyes is to the degree that you control your thoughts. Understand what the Bible says. Job 31 and verse 1, the Bible says, I made a covenant with my eyes, the Bible says, why I should think upon the maiden. And so he said, look, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I'm not going to think upon somebody else's lady, if you will, or somebody else's wife or that young lady that was the maiden. He said, I made a covenant. You know, there has to be some times when you learn to turn your head away. No man in his right mind ought to be viewing pornography. No man in his right mind ought to be on the internet going from page to page to page just to get your little thrill. No man in his right mind, or lady for that matter, ought to be on these soap operas and letting these soap operas tell you how to live. Look, it doesn't matter what Oprah says, it does matter what God says. And it doesn't matter what Dr. Phil says, it does matter what God says. And we have to decide tonight, is it that which is to somebody that's an interview person that's on television, that's got their own television? Look, there has to be a time tonight when you, as a godly parent, when you rise up and say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help my child protect their thoughts. I'm going to help my child tonight stay pure with their eyes. I'm not going to allow garbage to come into the house that's going to hurt them the rest of the days of their life. That which is Cinemax ought not to be in that house. That HBO that has all that worldly junk where it teaches your children how to rebel. Those romance novels that people get and they begin to read those things and they begin to fantasize inside of their hearts. That MTV that people see. Listen, I'm saying tonight, if you protect your thoughts, the only way you can do it, Josh, come help me, is the fact that you've got to make a decision that you're going to be like Job that said, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes. Protect what your children are watching. The Bible says over in Psalm 101 in verse 3, the Bible says, I will I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He said, I'm not going to put those wicked things before me. Now, what does that mean? That means sometimes, look, did you know America's getting worse and worse and worse? A friend of mine years ago that used to be a missionary to France, he said, Brother Wells, everywhere you went, you saw nudity. Everywhere. He said, on the bulletin boards, driving down the highway, on the tell, everywhere. You know what I'm seeing about America? America is following that track. Now, you have got a God-given responsibility to protect your children. You've got a responsibility. You say, what do I do, preacher? Do I help them to walk around with blindfolds on? No, not necessarily. But you can do this. You can prevent the garbage from coming into your house. You can decide that this will not enter in. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Here's what we do. If somebody was to curse your wife out in front of you, you'd deck them. And then you would say, I apologize. Hello. I broke the wrong side of your nose. But yet we've got parents that don't have any sense. And they go out and they get DVDs that have cursing all the way through. Well, dear Lord, if you're not going to have somebody come in your household and curse your wife out, then why in the world are you bringing that in the household for her to watch? You realize what a person, especially a young person's like a salamander. They turn the color of whatever wall they're on at the time. So a young person, look, understand that a child is still a child, and the child's not supposed to make adulthood decisions. The child is still supposed to be that child. I mean, the parents are supposed to make the decisions, not the child. But we have a child that says, well, I tell you what, and they throw these Walmart fits. You ever seen the Walmart brat? Jumping up and down and throwing an ever-living fit, you know, and just hollering and screaming and saying, I want it. I want it. What that parent ought to do is look that kid in that eyeball and say, son, I promise you, you're going to get it when you get home. But here's what takes place. Here's what we see tonight. You see that there is a generation, and all they're doing is they have the wrong imaginary. They fantasize about things that's wicked. Now listen, if your thought life is like that, you need to run and you need to get with God and you need to memorize scripture and you need to turn on some preaching and you need to get some godly music inside of your life. And listen, if your child has eyes, they're going to see. But listen, you ought to protect them enough that you don't yourself put the wrong thing before their eyes. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying that my purity of thought should not be for sale. My purity of eyes should not be for sale. My purity of words should not be for sale. The Bible says Jesus is speaking here. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so whatever is in the abundance. Have you ever done this? Have you ever said something that wasn't dirty, but somebody that heard it said that that was dirty? You know why they said that was dirty? Because it was out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth spoke. See, what is ever in the heart's going to come out. See, what we see tonight, there has to be that which is the protection of the thoughts. There has to be that which is the protection of that which is those words, if you will, that come out. Come help me, Matt. It has to be that. And we have to protect those eyes, because those eyes will be something that will cause us to go astray and not to obey God and not to keep our vision. Look, what would be wrong with having a godly example in front of your children? What would be wrong with, instead of them worshiping some sports model that's living a horrible life, why don't you say, hey, look, there's a missionary here tonight. He's going to leave America, go soul winning on a foreign field, start churches around the world. Hey, let him sign your Bible. Forget getting autographs from everybody else. You got a real hero in your presence. What should you do? Get your eyes off of somebody else. Put your eyes in the right place. Help your children to get the right heroes in their life. Well, watch this tonight. And so we've got to make a covenant with God tonight that we're going to keep our thoughts pure. Keep the eyes. And by the way, it's getting harder and harder. Keep the eyes pure. Keep that which is the words pure. Oh, listen to it tonight. My music needs to stay pure. Psalm 40 and verse 1. Psalm 40 and verse 1, the Bible says, I waited patiently. Look through, all the way through verse 3. Here's what it says. I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me, listen to it, up out of the horrible pit. The Bible says, out of the miry clay, set my feet. It says, upon the rock, established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Teenager came up to me one day and said, preacher, he said, what in the world's wrong with this type of music? I said, well, let's just look at one or two verses here that can help you. And I showed him verse 2 and 3 of this particular psalm. And the Bible says, just in verse 3 alone, listen to it. The Bible says here, shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I said, I got three questions. First off, you know, music is not just heard, it's seen. It's seen. You can tell what a person is like in their private life by, come on. Man, when I was on that airplane and Bret Michaels came up to sit down beside me and I witnessed to him, you know, he wasn't dressed like a businessman. He was dressing that. Did you know most people that sing the wrong type of music, their character can identify them before they utter one word? Did you know that? So here's what you see tonight. There's that which is words, those words that come out. But more than that, you see that the music, we've got to decide tonight that we're going to be somebody that's an individual tonight that would come and will have the right type of music. Come over here. That will have the right type of music that's in our life. What about the music? Well, it says it does three things here. The Bible says that you can see it. It causes fear and many people trust in the Lord. So let me ask you something, young person. What are the people like that you listen to? What do they dress like? What do they walk like? Do they have an upright type of attitude? Do they have an upright type of disposition? Do they have an upright type of character? Hey, is that somebody that you would be proud to introduce? Is that somebody that would represent Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Is that somebody that would be a good ambassador of Jesus Christ? Is that somebody that would be a good conqueror for Christ? Is that somebody that could easily be identified as a Christian? Or just by looking at them, you would not even begin to think that they are a Christian? Music. He says, many shall see it, but listen to it. And the Bible says, and fear. What type of fear is that? It's talking about fear of the Lord. Does your music cause you to have a reverential respect and a fear towards the things of God? Come on. As many people getting saved because it's preparing the hearts for the word of God that's about to. I love our music here. You know why I love it? Because it prepares the heart for the preaching. Have you ever seen, there's a difference between somebody that sings right and somebody that sings wrong. Have you ever seen it? Somebody that sings wrong always reflects that they want the attention. Somebody that sings right, you can always listen to the words more than you're staring at the person, because the words speak more to your heart than the person trying to get your attention. Have you ever seen somebody, I'm talking about in a more liberal church, here's what they do. They get up and it's a performance. You can tell they're going to perform by the way they walk on the platform. You can tell they're going to perform by the way they pick up the mic. You can tell that they're looking for accolades of praise by the way that they come up. Then they begin to caress the mic. And they configure their body in such a way that they get all the attention. Come on. Hello. And that's without putting words to it. So without even putting words to it, you give a message. I rode up beside a car the other day. Honest, I did. And I mean, it had this bombastic music, boom, boom, boom. I mean, you felt like that there was an earthquake that was about to take place. And the lady sitting behind the steering wheel actually act like she was enjoying it. And I mean, you know, it's this boom, I mean, pulsating beat. And you know, and she's sitting there and she's going, boom, boom, boom. And I thought, she's going to need a chiropractor when she's done. By the way, the right type of music will always draw your attention more to the words and more to the meaning than it does to the person. That's why I thank God for Brother Palmore and other musicians that's in the church that's training our young people to do that which is right. You know why? Because that's going to carry them through all the days of their life. Well, they don't get up there and sing with a slide. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's one thing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's another thing. Come on. All in the way that our young people learn to be able to sing right. And by the way, if for no other reason, you listen to me, if for no other reason, I think this church ought to be a draw because we train people the right way in music. You're not going to find any other music like this in any other church, I promise you, in Texas. Now, watch this. Here's what we see. There's that which is thoughts. There's that which is eyes. There's that which is word. Hey, we've got to decide to, hey, listen. Hey, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be like that which is Job, and I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to keep some pure thoughts. I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to have some pure eyes. I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to keep some pure words. I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to have that which is purity all throughout my life, even including my music. I'm going to make a covenant with you. Statement number next, think about this. What about our dress tonight? What about our dress tonight? Here's what, boy, you're quiet now. What about our dress tonight? You think about what the Bible talks about dress all the way through the scriptures. Listen to it. Isaiah chapter 47 in verse 1. Let me teach you something tonight. The Bible says, Isaiah chapter 47, if you got a Bible, it would do you good to turn there. Isaiah chapter 47 in verse 1, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, come down, sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Says sit, it says on the ground, there is no throne, watch it, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldees, for thou shalt be no more called tender and delicate. You know, I've got a precious little girl. Rebecca, wave at me, wave at me. I got a precious little girl right there. I want my daughter always to be known as tender and delicate. Now the boys can box all they want to. Boys can wrestle all they want to. But I don't want my daughter to come out with boxing glove ones and she gets married and all of a sudden her husband comes home and she meet him at the door and say, "Hey, you're late for supper again, big boy. Pow." That is not called tender and delicate. Now God says that here's a description. And he gives the description using that which is a lady's description, being tender and delicate. He says, take the millstones and the grindmill, uncover the locks. Listen to it. Bare, watch it, watch it. Make bare the leg, watch it. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, it says, thy shame shall be seen. Now, what does he say? Now, this is God. This is the creator of the universe. God says that when a lady uncovers her thigh, she reveals her nakedness. Come on, fellas, you better say amen. Bail me out of this thing. I'm worried about some of our girls. It seems like summertime comes and the skirts just keep getting shorter and shorter and shorter. All right? And come here, Joseph. Stand up here, if you will. It had to be you. Stand up all the way. Hold that right there. Yeah. It doesn't match. But here's what you see in society. You know, back many years ago, when a lady would wear a dress, it would be full. It would be modest. But then all of a sudden, it seems like it's just getting shorter and shorter. Okay, make your skirt shorter and shorter and shorter. All right? Now wait a minute. Here's what takes place. The short... Brother Allen says, put it back down, please. But the shorter it gets, duh, the more it reveals. You know, come on, we weren't born yesterday, but did you know a man is turned on by his sight? Did you know that? Did you know when a man sees a lady and she wears a conforming type of dress, a uniform, if you will, please, and it contours the body, you know that turns on a man? I don't care if you're godly or not tonight. If you got real blood running through your veins, you can't help but think the wrong thing if you're looking the wrong direction and your heart is yielded in the wrong manner. Now, wait a minute. Watch this tonight. And so it gets shorter and shorter. Well, here's what takes place. And I'm talking about in good Christian places. The shorter it gets, the more you reveal. Well, good night. If you're not for sale, take the for sale sign out of the window. Amen. You know, we've got people that's walking around. Come on. Amen. We got ladies that's in pants, and I wonder, dear Lord, how they get in them, and how are they going to get out? I mean, you know, it looks like they poured themselves into those things. And when they walk, it's ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And I think, oh my soul, if they explode, Texas is gone. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. The Bible talks about that which is a dress. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, listen to it in verse 9. The Bible describes that which is dress, and it uses that which is the words modest apparel. It comes from the word kachistoe, where you get that word minkhesto, which means a long flowing garment. It's not squeaking, it's long and flowing. Now, come on. Listen to me. I'm just trying to protect your girls. The tighter that you let your girls dress, the more it turns on a boy. And girls, you ought to decide tonight, I'm not going to be somebody that's going to try to draw the attention of some boy. Some boy's going to come after you. He's going to get what you've got, and it's not his to get. Protect yourself. All of a sudden, you know, if you keep drawing that attention, I'm telling you, you're asking for danger. Daddy, you've got to be man enough to stand up in your household, and you've got to be man enough to say, no, you're not wearing that. Now go take it off. That might fit the baby doll, but you've outgrown it, honey. Take it off. Listen, I don't want our girls to be hurt. But if you, and they don't know, they don't know. Or if they do know, they need somebody to help. You know what, teenagers? Teenagers are looking for boundaries. And if you draw boundaries, they stay within the boundaries. But if you don't draw boundaries, they decide to make their own boundaries. And their boundaries will always be less than yours. If you've got the right ones yourself. Look, what would be wrong with our girls dressing like pretty little girls? What would be wrong with that? You say, well, it's just not nice. No, it's more than nice. It's scriptural. And it's more than scriptural. It's the decent thing to do. Come on. Now I'm not just talking about that which is a pair of shorts or something like that reveals that thigh. But what about those skirts that are tight? Come on. Man, they got them, you know, they're walking and they're boom, 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 boom. And you're wondering, I'm talking about, you're wondering, why are they doing that? Why, whose attention are you trying to get? God's or that little boy over there? If you're trying to get his attention, I promise you, you probably already got it, but the wrong way. I told my boy, I says, look, don't marry a girl just because she's pretty. That'll all change. It'll change. Hello? That lady has, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 babies. It all changes. When we get older, we change. Come on. My wife says, she says, you're a hunk. And that worries me. A hunk of what? Hunks come in various sizes and shapes. Now wait. You're doing so good, Joseph. And so there has to be some standards when it comes to that which is dress. By the way, you ought not get mad at us when we talk about stuff like this. I'm going to tell you why. If you go down to Walmart, you go down to that which is McDonald's, you go to Burger King, they're going to have some standards. Isn't it funny? You come to church and you think, boy, I tell you what, that preacher gets up there and says, on these activities we have, these family nights, and he says, hey, would you ladies do this? And would you men do this? And he ought not ask us to do stuff like that, because after all, I mean, you know, there's a freedom of choice. Yes, there's a freedom of choice, but if God says something, the creator of the universe, if he cares enough about it to write it in the Bible, then you and I ought to care enough about it to read it, to understand it, to believe it, to practice it. Lord, get in the place where God can help you. Amen. Talking about tonight, we need to decide that our purity is not for sale. Let me give you one more and I'm done. My pure touch is not for sale. My pure touch is not for sale. Listen to this. I'll read you a couple verses and I'm done. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 29, the Bible says, listen to it. Can one go, it says, upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Just by touching her. Now, by the way, that's Bible. Now, we stay away from stuff like that. We preachers would stay away from stuff like that because we say, boy, if we say something like that in church, they're not coming back. But I've got news for you. I've been preaching this way for 27 years, and I found that there's people out there that like the truth. Now, here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 13, the Bible says, she caught him and kissed him. It says, with an impotent face, the Bible says, and said unto him. And so what happened? He got so close that he got caught. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 25, the Bible says, and let thine heart, it says, decline, it says, to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. For she is cast down, many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way of hell. It says, going down into the chambers of death. But where did it all start? It started with that which is a touch. That's why it says it's not good for man to touch a woman. And so, come on. Now, I like touching my wife because she is my wife. But I'm not going to touch your wife because she's not my wife. Now, you may think this is a little old-fashioned, but I loved my wife and I loved her parents enough to honor her all the way to the marriage altar. So before we got married and we courted for over 2 years, never one time did I hold her hand. Never one time did I give her a kiss. Well, you're quiet tonight. But the reason that was is because she did not belong to me yet. She still belonged to her parents. When we went to the marriage altar, we went to the marriage altar pure. Amen. She came walking down that aisle. Dun, dun, da, da. Dun, dun, da, da. Slow. Absolutely ridiculous. I can't wait for Elisa and Jared to get married. I think Elisa's going to have her running shoes on, tennis shoes underneath that, which is the wedding dress. The music is going to begin to play. Da, 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 da. She's going to go, poof, I'm here. Now, wait. Boy, she walked down really, really slow. Man, I'm standing up here. 300 plus people attended our wedding. I am scared to death. I mean, you know, I have never been down this road before. I mean, I'm scared. I practice honest. I practice making the kiss the night before the wedding. Have you ever looked in the mirror as you tried to form a kiss? You look as ridiculous as you're thinking I did. Man, I'm standing there, and I mean, I'm really trying. I mean, I'm formulating the lips. And I thought, that's not right. This one's out farther than that one. Tried to get it right. Come on. I had all this going through my mind. Dun, dun, da, da. Dun, dun, da, da. She's taking her time, her merry old time, walking down the aisle. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, please help her to get here. It's not good for a real man to faint. She gets up to me. The man that married us, our pastor, married us. And he said, you may now kiss the bride. And I went brain dead. And he said, you may now kiss the bride. And I went over and I looked and I just went. And she looked at me like, that's all I get? After 2.5 years of courtship and I get a, that's it? So I got her and I pulled her and I went, But, I mean, that was after the second attempt where I went over and I put my nose in her eye because I missed. I was nervous. Now, let me say something tonight. We have to understand, however, that there is that which is the touch. Look, don't this thing about these little kids going around these hallways and you're saying, hey, look, and they're only 5 and 6 years of age. They'll come up here and they're only 5 and 6 years of age. And you're saying, hey, little Johnny, you need to like little Sally over there. You look good. Look, this thing in the youth department where you know, you take one teenager and you match them up with another. Look, get away from that junk. Don't do that. You are creating a fire that is going to be a fire that's hard to put out. If anything, you need to be holding them back. Because the sooner they say, I like you, the sooner they say, I love you, the sooner they say, I love you, the sooner they say, I do, and they're not ready to, I do yet. I'm telling you, teenagers mature a little bit different than teenagers of yesteryear. You can't mature properly by playing video games. There's not a maturity level there. Come on. It just seems like we're a little bit slower than yesteryear. You know, you got boys that are walking around and they're teenagers and they're playing with toy trucks. Of course, that's about as bad as some of the men playing with their big trucks. But watch this, if you will. Here's what you see tonight. You see that, hey, there's some people in the Bible that say, look, I'm just going to tell you that which is my thoughts, it's not for sale. The eyes are not for sale. The words are not for sale. That which is my music, it's not for sale. That dress is not for sale. And I'm not going to sell out and touch somebody else's wife. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay pure. Summertime's coming. I don't know how it is in Texas. You have different weather. It would not surprise me if it snowed in Texas. I mean, the weather changes. Somebody said, you don't like the weather? Wait 5 minutes. You'll like it better. It'll change. But if Texas is like the average southern state where I came from, when summertime comes, the clothes begin to come off. Now, I'm telling you, you better protect yourself. I don't know how many marriages have been ruined because of the internet. I don't know how many children have been ruined because of wrong relationships. Look, and I'm telling you, you're visiting here tonight, and you're saying, well, I tell you what, I've never been in a church like this before where somebody picks it up and shoots it straight. Hey, don't go to a stinking liberal church where the man of God dresses like mama and talks like papa and doesn't have anything to say. Somebody needs to care about you. Keep yourself pure. Now, look, we all got to work at it. Every man in here has to protect his own thoughts. Every lady in here, every young person in here has to work at protecting your thoughts. We have to work at protecting our eyes and the words that we utter. We have to work at it. We have to work at staying right on our music so that it causes us to think the right things and motivates us to do the right things. We have to decide tonight that we're not going to wear that which is a wrong apparel that contours to the body. And now we're walking out and people are seeing us. But if for no other reason, God said not to. God said not. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. But if God says not to do something, then why do it? Somebody asked me the other day, they said, Brother Wells, they said, you wear shorts. I said, I, for some reason, I just don't think my kneecap's going to turn anybody on. Hello. I've seen them. I get out there, put me a pair of shorts on, and all of a sudden, the world is going to have many crashes. Yeah. Wait, watch this. And so God does care. Hey, what if we were so right tonight? Here's what we did. Said, God, look, I just want you to know, I know that you believe that everything is important in my life. What if we got so yielded like the Reyes family, if you will, tonight, that said, dear God, I'm just yielding myself totally to you. It doesn't matter what I want. It does matter what you want. It doesn't matter what I think. It does matter what you think. It doesn't matter if I'm the one that thinks that I have a vote in this thing. Because God, I want you to do all the voting. What if we decide tonight that we're going to be Christians that are totally dedicated and our cause for Christ, and just step up and say, I'm going to put some things in my life that's going to keep me pure through the rest of the days of my life in a right fashion.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.